We are joined by the director of the film, Maya Newell, in the studio to chat about this feature documentary. Good morning.
Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, can you tell us a little bit about this documentary?
Sure. And I think it's so exciting to be opening in cinemas across the country this week, but it's been a really long journey. So I had the privilege to have been invited by Arunda Elders in Alice Springs to make films about the empowering work that they were doing to educate their kids in language, culture and identity at an organization called Akilera Healing Center. And they town camp kids out on country with their families. And over the last decade, I've had an amazing opportunity to learn from old people. And I suppose over those years, the elders were continually telling me the same thing. Margaret Kamara Turner, one of Dwan's great grandmothers, said, they're always telling us to make our children ready for school, but when are they going to make schools ready for our children?
Wow.
And I think that really does cut to the heart of this film. It's about these children who are so amazing. They speak, you know, incredible, like their first languages. They're confident out on their country with their families. Mm-hmm. And they enter the education system and often feel like failures at school. And I think that there's really a question here for how we measure success and the sort of Western-only model of education that we have in this country. I met Dwan maybe four years ago when we started making the film. And he's this intelligent, you know, extraordinary, cheeky, witty child who just has this beautiful child wisdom and poeticism of the way he's articulating the world around him. And I just thought, what a beautiful conduit, you know, to take Australia on this journey on a child's eye view of what it's like to be an Aboriginal kid in Australia today.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a journey for this documentary. And tell us about Dwan. How did you meet him? And most importantly, why did he want to star in this film? What message did he want to bring to Australia?
Well, I think, you know, when we started making the film, he didn't really have a message. You know, it sort of wasn't like, I want to make a film for this reason. He just wanted to be famous, probably. But I do think what's really unique about this film is that we have created this consultation model around the film where all of his grandmothers, his, you know, elders, his own family who you see on screen are core partners in the making of the film. So they were there from early messaging stage, from edit, you know, throughout the edit to fine cut, and had the agency over their own representation. And that is really important as non-Indigenous filmmakers like myself to make space for that kind of agency and control in storytelling because we have a history of misappropriation of First Nations people's stories throughout our history. And we built this amazing consultation model. It also meant that early on, Dwan's mother did have some really strong messages for the film, which I hope we have honoured. And she said to me, Maya, I want Australia to know that we love and care about our kids.
Wow.
And I think it's simple, but it is still a radical idea in Australia that Aboriginal people have those strengths, that they love their children, that they have the solutions to, you know, a lot of the horrendous downstream consequences that we see, you know, like juvenile justice and the welfare system. But yeah, families like Dwan's love their children and are striving and tirelessly to ground them in their first culture and identity.
Absolutely. And it's good to see the agency where it's a film that is so obvious that it's not only made by you, but a whole entire community has gotten involved and excited about this film.
Yeah, it's quite unusual, actually, and you'll see if you get the chance to see it this week in the opening credits, you know, Felicity Hayes, she's the executive producer. She's also the senior traditional owner of Mbantua, of Alice Springs. And we tried to give titles where they were due, but also titles to family members that translated to the Western filmmaking industry that showed, for example, the security and support that she offered us by allowing us to film on her country. And the model of consultation that sat around this project, driven by our First Nations producers, in particular Rachel Edwardson, it is worth noting because that is not necessarily the status quo in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And your film, Gaby Baby, was quite a big film when it came out. But one of the things I love about the film is that it's when we're speaking about the film, which was about kids from same-sex parent families, they spoke about them. We spoke about them in the public sphere without actually talking to the kids. And your film, Gaby Baby, asked the kids, I mean, what do you think? And in a way, this film as well is doing it again by providing that platform for Indigenous kids, specifically in Alice Springs, to ask them what their experience is, which is a voice that is lost in a lot of the mediascape or public sphere.
Absolutely. And it seems to be a bit of a trend now in my work to be offering this platform to children to speak their truth. But I think that, you know, when we grow older, adults often lose a certain kind of intelligence. Maybe sometimes, you know, the politics and issues that we're faced with as adults force us to lose that moral code. And there's something beautiful about a child that is 10 years old, Dwan's age, and also the children in Gaby Baby, where you're just becoming cognizant of the complex issues in the world around you. But you still have a childlike innocence and morality in the way that you describe them. And in that way, you know, what we saw with Gaby Baby, those children spoke truth to power. They started a national conversation about their own experiences and what it might feel like to be a child amidst the marriage equality debate where everyone is telling you that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Similarly, when we're talking about First Nations education, you know, or education in this country, there's so much talk about what Aboriginal children need, and so rarely do we actually listen to children who know the answer. Like Dwan said at the UN, I want my school to be run by Aboriginal people. It's actually a declaration of Indigenous rights at the United Nations that children should have the right to have education in their own language and in their first culture, and we don't do that here. But it makes sense, you know.
It does.
I had education in my first language of English and through my worldview. So Aboriginal people just asking for that very same thing.
Yeah, and speaking three languages, that's a skill in its own. And to be able to speak three languages and then have an education system turn around and make you feel less of when you have all these amazing skills and amazing values that your community holds so highly. It should be held just as highly in the education system here as well.
Absolutely. And sometimes we wonder, like, Australia has one of the fastest rates of hibernation of languages in the world. And it's really no surprise given the way that, in, you know, languages and people's cultures are treated. If there's one thing I think that the film really does say, you know, it says beneath these children who we call too hard or we call troubled children are beautiful, vibrant kids who will flourish if we make space in our education systems to value their identities.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about In My Blood It Runs.
That's okay. And I really hope people can get out and see the film this week in cinemas, and you can host your own screening if there isn't a screening near you.